For a minute there, I thought I was caught in a game that I play with my three-year-old granddaughter. It's one of her favorite games. It's called Marble Jam. And I was recalling it as we were kind of in a little bog there, and I was thinking, oh, maybe this is a marble jam on Sunday. Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. This morning we pick up Nehemiah's commitment to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem after he has led a group to personally survey the damage. Like residents of Mexico Beach returning home following Hurricane Michael, they see with their own eyes the gut-wrenching destruction. However, and this is important, that devastating reality did not shut them down. It focused their resolve even more sharply to rebuild and to start now. Nehemiah chapter 3. At a glance, I have to admit that it looks pretty tedious, pretty boring, especially when you see that it's a list of names and places that are unfamiliar and, may I add, very challenging to pronounce. We will not find a Doug or a Dan or a Pete or a Bill or a Carolyn or a Sue or a Joan or a Linda anywhere in this lengthy list. So you might wonder, what's the point? Well, I believe that God put this chapter where he did, right in Nehemiah. There are many chapters beyond this one, but he put it early on so that we might catch the bold and energizing spirit of this building. Maybe some of it will rub off on us. So let's take a look. Nehemiah chapter 3, I'll read it, and you'll be so glad you did this. I need you to follow along, because if you do not, it will not make any sense. It's on page, I think I've got it right, 432? Okay, so the Pew Bible I at home said 432, so 432, 411. Have you got it? Okay. I ate an extra bowl of Wheaties this morning. Then the high priest, Eliashib, set to work with his fellow priests and rebuilt the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Ananel. And the men of Jericho built next to him, and next to them Zachar, son of Imri, built. The sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They had its beams, they laid its beams, and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Next to them Miramoth, son of Uriah, son of Zachzaz, made repairs. Next to them Mesullam, son of Berechah, son of Mesh-Hezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok of Bana made repairs. Next to them, the Tekites made repairs. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. So Adiah, son of Pasha, and Mesullam, son of Besodeiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Next to them, repairs were made by Balacha, the Gibeonite, and Dedan, the Meronothite. The men of Gibeon and Mizpah, who were under the jurisdiction of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, son of Mathadah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Next to him, Hananah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphaiah, son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jediah, son of Harunephah, made repairs opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, son of Hashab Hidha, made repairs. Malchijak, son of Harim, and Hashab, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, son of Hadahish, ruler of half of the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. He and his daughters, Hanan, and the inhabitants of Zanpah, repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Malachad, son of Rechpah, ruler of the district of Beth Hasherhab, repaired the dung gate. He built it and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And Shalom, son of Kolhozeg, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it and covered it and set up its doors, its bolts, its bars. And he built the wall of the pool of Shelah of the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah of Azbuk, ruler of half of the district of Bethzer, repaired from a point opposite the graves of David as far as the artificial pool and the house of the warriors. After him, the Levites made repairs. Rehum, son of Bani, next to Hashabiah, ruler of half of the district of Keilah, made repairs for his district. After him, their kin made repairs. Binu, son of Benadad, ruler of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section opposite the ascent to the armory at the angle. After him, Baruch, son of Zaba, repaired another section from the angle to the door of the house of the high priest Eliashib. After him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakaz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him, the priests, the men of the surrounding area, made repairs. After them, Benjamin, Hashab, made repairs opposite their house. After them, Azariah, son of Maah, son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his own house. After him, Benu, son of Benadad, repaired another section from the house of Azara to the angle and to the corner. Malal, son of Uzza, repaired opposite the angle and the tower, projecting from the upper house of the king at the court of the guard. After him, Pedaiah, son of Parush, and the temple servants living on Ophel, made repairs up to a point opposite the water gate on the east and the projecting tower. After him, the Tikvaites repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, son of Shidai, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. After him, Hananiah, son Ashelemiah and Hanan, Sec's son, Azalaph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarters. After him, Malachijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants opposite the muster gate and to the upper room of the corner. And between the upper room of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. A mighty list indeed. And so, you know, telling this style of communicating what happens, this writing a list, is pretty common in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. It shows up a lot in the book of Numbers, the book of Ezra, and of course what we see here in the book of Nehemiah. For example, in Ezra, when Cyrus authorizes for all the Jews to return home, it's not followed by a beautiful story about how they got home, but it's followed by a list of all the people that returned home. No mention of how they got there. And so it is with building the wall of Jerusalem. We hear at the end of chapter 2 that they're going to start building. We don't hear about planning. You know, we don't hear about those committee meetings. We don't hear about scheduling. We don't hear about materials and purchasing what is needed and getting 3 bids for everything. No. We get a list of who did the work. It is as if naming the participants says it all. It would be like us listing Tanya Smith, Cheryl Boffman, Karen Irvin, Doug Lemieux, and Donna Blumel, and knowing the mission project was done because those were the people that were doing it. In the Nehemiah list, we gain an appreciation, or at least I hope you did, every time I've read that list, and I've read it maybe a dozen times. We get an appreciation for the huge scope of the project. And we hear the phrase, next to. Did you catch that? Next to. It's actually there 14 times in only 19 verses. The men of Jericho built next to the high priest Eliashib, and next to him, Zocher, son of Emir, built. Next to him, the son of Hashenah built. Next to them, Miramoth made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam. Next to them, Zadok. Next to them, Tekoites. You get the idea. Next to. Next to, I think, gives us a picture of the work site, of these work crews that are all building side by side, next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And also, did you notice that there's no mention of those who did not participate? Only half of verse 5. The Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles would not put their shoulder to the work of their Lord. Those who are working shoulder to shoulder cannot be bothered by those who are not. How about us? How about us? Do we pay attention to those who aren't doing their share and think that it's unfair? How does that in turn affect our work when we have one eye on those who are not working? Nehemiah's work crews didn't notice. Maybe we shouldn't either. Also consider in what we read, did we hear anyone say, if I can't work on the horse gate, or if I have to work on the dung gate, I'm out of here. Each group had their own part And in the reading, it seems that they're faithfully working on that part, and it's important to them. It's an important part of the project. And indeed it was, because for the city to be safe and secure, there could not be any gaps in the wall. And that reminds me of a saying. Some of you have heard the saying, keep your side of the street clean. Just keep your side of the street clean. It's a motto in AA, which means to hold yourself with respect when someone does something that hurts you. And don't try to hurt them back or to slam their name. You make your side of the street, so to speak, dirty when you try to retaliate. So just do your part. Work your part, work your program, and keep your side of the street clean. Another phrase that appears often in what we read, perhaps you caught it, is the phrase, as far as. It's used to identify which section of a wall each work crew handled. For example, one crew worked as far as the broad wall. Another crew repaired the valley gate and built as far as the dung gate. Another as far as the wall of Ophel. I think this repetition is there to show us that there was a limit to what each group did. No one crew, let alone no one person, was responsible or expected to be responsible for everything. Each crew had their own area that they took ownership of and were responsible for. When they finished it, they stopped. They trusted and believed that the next group would take it from there and work as far as the next section, and so on. Remember what Nehemiah said right before everyone started working, after they went out and surveyed the damage? It's on the front of your bulletin. Take a look. Let's read it together. This is Nehemiah. Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven is the one who will give us success, and we, his servants, are going to start building." This wasn't Nehemiah's personal project. He wasn't doing it. It was a community effort, us together, shoulder to shoulder. And did you notice in the reading that there's no mention of micromanaging? We didn't hear any work crew saying to another work crew, "Do you think that's level? You know, that block doesn't belong there. You know, you should use a shovel instead of a pick." Certainly Nehemiah had the authority to play that role, to wander from section to section, telling them how to do what with what tools and what materials, and how they had to be cost conscious, and how fast they needed to work in order to get the job done. But Nehemiah didn't do that. And according to scripture, the wall, the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, was not built sequentially, one section at a time, but all together, all at once, to make a unifying wall, because everyone was working on their own part. So we might ask ourselves, will we put our shoulders to the work of the Lord? Who will we put our shoulders with? What is my section? And what is yours? Those questions remind me of Yvonne Ziegler. Have you heard of her? Yvonne Ziegler? Okay. Yvonne Ziegler had an apartment in a central Brooklyn housing project and a decent job in an office. But like a lot of New Yorkers, she figured she'd be renting forever. Owning a place seemed beyond the realm of possibility. Then in comes the Nehemiah program. Nice name, don't you think? The Nehemiah program. The Nehemiah program is the shoulder-to-shoulder effort of a whole bunch of East Brooklyn congregations and South Bronx churches. Their collaboration also includes community organizers and the city of New York. You might remember my first Nehemiah sermon, Finding Our Resources. Sometimes I said, we have to look outside of the church for our resources to add to ours. So the Nehemiah program builds affordable housing and without federal assistance. On October 31st, 1982, almost 36 years ago to the day, ground was broken on the first Nehemiah home, a 3-bedroom brick house that sold for $39,000. Since then, the program has helped thousands of people to become homeowners, and those homeowners in turn are paying it forward. Their shoulder-to-shoulder efforts have transformed previously noisy, crime-infested, drug-infested areas into quiet and safe neighborhoods, where people know their neighbors and take care of each other. But what about Yvonne Ziegler? Well, thanks to the Nehemiah program, Yvonne Ziegler now owns a trim, neatly maintained 3-bedroom house where she lives with her elderly mother in the Brooklyn neighborhood known as East New York. She said, "Someone always asks, how can I live here? That makes me proud. We all work hard to keep this neighborhood clean and safe." A spokesperson for the Coalition of Churches said, "We're doing God's work. The Nehemiah program builds strong communities." I believe it's our duty as Christians and disciples of Jesus to help build the kingdom of God on earth. It may seem like a huge task, but it's actually easier than you think. Remember, God is not asking us to do it all, but God is asking us to do our part. As you pray walk the neighborhood in which you live or the neighborhoods, the blocks around the church, I encourage you to notice what you see, what you hear, what you feel. Listen for what God is saying to you. And then let's share what we see and feel and hear. What will our Nehemiah program look like? Where do you see shoulders you can invite to be next to yours? Building the wall of Jerusalem was a huge project. 9 gates, many towers, and all the sections in between. It took workers, as you heard, from all segments of society. I particularly liked to know that the perfumers were involved. Some of those workers lived close, some of them lived further away. What they all shared, though, was the importance of doing their part for God. Our building project at First Pres focuses on a 1-mile radius, just a 1-mile radius of the church and the neighborhoods where we live. To build the kingdom of God in these areas, it will take us, all of us, taking responsibility and doing our part. And I leave you to remember Nehemiah's words. The God of heaven is the one who will give us success. And we, his servants, are going to start building shoulder to shoulder. Amen.